Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This evening, NASA is launching a new satellite. It's called the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, better known as TESS, and its mission, to find more Earth-like planets. And here to tell us all about it is Kelly Beatty. He's senior contributing editor of Sky and Telescope magazine. Kelly, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you, Megan. Great to be back.
I have been waiting all day to talk to you about this because I need some good news in my life. Tell us all about TESS. What's it supposed to do?
TESS is, you know, we have discovered that many, many stars have planets around them, and that some of those planets are even a little bit like Earth, at least in terms of their size. And what TESS is going to do is take that to the next level. It's got an experiment on board that is really just four cameras. It's going to take pictures of the whole sky, and what it hopes to find are planets that pass in front of their stars and cause little dips in the star's light that they can record. And that turns out to be very diagnostic. And the goal is to find stars relatively near the Earth, you know, only maybe, 10 to 20 to 30 light years away.
Yeah.
It sounds like a long ways away, but it's still close. That are like the Earth in size and temperature.
Mm.
That's the next step in trying to, you know, find a place like us out there in the big beyond.
Okay, size, temperature, but would TESS be able to detect things like water or anything like that?
It will not.
But the
fact that these are going to be stars that are near the Earth opens up the possibility that big telescopes here on the ground, which are too busy to study, you know, hundreds of thousands of stars at a time, can zero in on those best candidates and use much more sophisticated equipment, like spectrometers that can tell whether there's water in the atmospheres of these planets. Things that TESS is not equipped to do, but its buddies on the ground are.
Yeah, so this is not NASA's first satellite launching to look for exoplanets, right? We had Kepler back in, 2009, I think?
Oh, you're very good.
I have good producers, actually.
That's right. And Kepler was a remarkable spacecraft that opened the floodgates, if you will, to the notion that there are literally countless planets out there in our around stars in our Milky Way. There's a thought that there might actually be more planets than stars. There are big ones and small ones and hot ones and cold ones, and so they come into an amazing diversity, just like the planets in our own solar system, if you think about it. And so what TESS is going to do then is try to skim the cream, planetarily speaking, to find those that have most Earth-like characteristics, no more than four times the diameter of our planet.
Wow. Okay. Oh, so a very focused search, even though TESS is looking at a wide swath of the sky, right? I think you were...
Yes, because Kepler only looked in one particular part of the sky, and it only looked at stars that were somewhat like the sun, you know, big and bright and hot. Now, some stars are brighter than the sun and hotter, and some are dimmer. Lots and lots of them are dimmer. And so what TESS will do is not concentrate on stars like the sun, but on all stars, and in particular these small, cooler stars called M-dwarfs, which exist in multitudes. And that's where the new... that's the location right now in exoplanet searches, because planets very close to those stars can still be at a comfortable temperature.
Right.
And that's what TESS is banking on.
Okay. So we should give a nod to the great minds at MIT, right? Because they had quite a significant role in the creation or even the thought behind getting this the satellite up in the first place.
Yeah, that's right. There are two MIT professors, George Ricker and Roland van der Spek, who came up with this idea about a decade ago, you know, after Kepler was up and running. And they said, okay, we really can use this because we're only looking at stars near us. Those are more or less brighter than stars in general. We don't need a giant telescope. And in fact, TESS has four identical telescopes with lenses that are no bigger than what you see the sports photographers using at a Red Sox game. And so it's with that kind of small, simple experiment that they hope to do this great work.
Okay, but is it possible, though, I suppose in science, especially cosmological science, it's always possible, but that TESS could actually miss quite a number of potential exoplanets because of their very orbits around the stars that they're going around, right? What if they're behind the star when TESS is looking at it?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the goal here is to look at a strip of the sky with these four cameras for 27 days only, then move on to the next strip and so on until you cover the whole sky. Well, in 27 days, you want to see a blip in the dip of that star's light more than once, right? That tells you that it's not just a chance occurrence. It's actually something going around and around and around. 27 days is not a very long orbit. But if you talk about these really dim stars, planets can be very close in, with many of them with orbits of just 1 or 2 days, and those can be the good candidates. Now, the good news is that the search strategy will overlap at the top and bottom, at the poles, if you will, of the celestial sphere. And in those cases, we'll be able to look for planets with much longer periods because TESS will see that area over and over and over again.
Okay.
And it's 2-year mission.
So, I mean, what do you think the odds are, Kelly, of actually finding another planet that's not just Earth-like, but very much Earth-like?
Yeah, so the goal of the mission, its objective, if you will, is to find at least 50 of these Earth-like planets. And what we can tell is we can tell how warm it is. That is, just from what TESS tells us, we'll be able to know what size it is, how massive it is, how warm it is, and whether it's at a temperature that liquid water could remain liquid. It will be up to others to find, you know, these other things like are there gases in the atmosphere and so forth. Now, I think it's a very, very good chance because Kepler has shown us that these planets, such planets, do exist. And the goal here is to find planets that are close enough to us. This is the key.
Yeah.
Planets around stars that are close enough to us that we can hope to study the planets themselves, not just the star that they're going around.
Right. 20 to 30 light years, you said.
Yeah, that's a rough thing. I mean, you know, the closest, you know, because you know all this stuff, the closest stars are about 4 light years away. And in fact, one of them, Proxima Centauri, which is in the southern hemisphere, we can't see it from here, actually is thought to have planets around it. So it's going to be, I think, a very common kind of thing to find planets around even these small, cool stars, and that's where the hay is to be made.
Okay, so you know what I love about this? Chance of success, 100%, right? It's just what we do with the data that really matters. Kelly Beatty, senior editor of Sky and Telescope magazine. What should I call you, Kelly? Retired senior editor? That doesn't seem right. Is that right?
Well, let's put it this way, Megan. I've retired from full-time work. And one last thing before we go. If it clears up tonight, everyone should look to the west after sunset. There will be a beautiful, thin crescent moon that will be just gorgeous. And not far away will be the planet Venus, screamingly bright.
Wonderful. Kelly Beatty with Sky and Telescope magazine talking to us about NASA's planned launch of the Transiting Exoplanet Survey satellite tonight. Kelly, thank you so very much.
Always a pleasure, Meghna. Clear skies to you.
And you to you, and to you as well.